And the Don't Ask, Don't Tell policy, the F-35 Joint Strike Fighter, those are just two of the issues causing holdups with the defense authorization bill in the Senate. The bill has now moved to the full Senate, where a vote is likely to happen soon. But what will the bill look like when it's all said and done? Jody Schneider is our congressional expert and senior editor in the Washington Bureau of the American Banker, and she joins us now. Good morning, Jody.
Good morning.
So the House has done its version, and now the Senate is trying to get through its version. What's the prospects for early passage? And then we'll get to how the bills differ.
Well, it got interesting last week. The House did pass its version of the bill before leaving for the Memorial Day recess, but not before it got a veto threat, what we call becoming veto bait, from the president. The Office of Management and Budget, OMB, issues the veto threats. The president doesn't himself necessarily. But basically, the bill, which had passed 229 to 186 in the House, so it was a pretty big victory there, drew the veto threat because of language that authorizes funding for a second engine for the F-35 Joint Strike Fighter. And basically, the Obama administration's position is that if this funding is included in the final version of the bill, they would recommend a veto. And this came with a warning from the Defense Secretary, Robert Gates. Basically, they don't feel that the military wants or needs these programs being pushed by the Congress was the point. So the Senate bill does not include that language for the F-35 fighter jet. And so one would think that it would be the bill that would go forward, correct? Well, maybe not. there are some substantial differences between the bills. They both do include the Don't Ask, Don't Tell the changes to the Don't Ask, Don't Tell language, but the Senate version may have more trouble passing. It's a highly partisan bill and did not get through even the committee in the Senate very quickly or very easily.
Now, does it also have that second engine?
It does not. Yeah, so it does not draw the Senate version would not draw the veto threat in the way that the House has. But it does have a lot of other things about it. And first of all, the language in about the Don't Ask, Don't Tell, and changes there would be harder to get through in the Senate bill. They have other controversial provisions. They would pull authority to fund construction of a military detention facility in Thompson, Illinois. That would be the one that's supposed to be replacing the prison at Guantanamo Bay. So there's an issue right there. Other issues are that it cuts in half the amount of money requested to assist the Iraqi security forces at a time, obviously, when the U.S. is pulling troops out of the country. And it does include an amendment by Senator John McCain that would require the Defense Secretary to send 6,000 National Guard troops to the U.S.-Mexico border. This language was defeated as an amendment to the war supplemental. So there's a lot of things in there that may draw problems for passage of the bill, and also maybe things that the administration doesn't particularly want either.
We're speaking with Jody Schneider, our congressional expert and our senior editor in the Washington Bureau of the American Banker. And what about the dollar amounts? Because how close together are they on that? Because we have this big supplemental part of this, which is, I think, $169 billion. But the base budget of $567 billion, that's up about 3.4% over last year in the House version. How does the Senate base budget compare to the House version?
Yeah, the Senate, well, first of all, because they keep adding things on, as you know, these add-ons get more costly. They appear to be fairly close at this point. One of the big issues, of course, with the F-35 is the cost. The House bill had included $485 million to make these engines built by GE, and so that is part of it as well. So by the fact that it doesn't include the money for the F-35, that makes it more attractive. But there's all these other issues, and also you also have the issue, even if the Senate bill passes, the House has to look at this defense acquisition issue for the engines for the Joint Strike Fighter. Is this going to come up in another bill? the administration signaled they don't want it, but there's a lot of lobbying for these engines, and so this issue is not likely to go away anytime soon.
But the language of the veto threat for back last year, when it was the F-22 that was the point of contention, and that's, of course, that's a killed program.
Right.
That veto threat was much stronger than the one that came out for the engine, which simply said the president would consider a veto because of the engine. So it sounds like that's not Custer's last stand for the president of that particular issue, which is only a couple of billion dollars.
Right. Well, it isn't now, but sometimes, you know, the initial threat, the initial OMB language is the president would consider it, and then it turns out to be, you know, in subsequent veto threats, it's actually tougher language. And there is the warning from Gates here as well. This is, they're making this more of an issue. They're making it more than just a, we don't like it in this authorization bill, which of course doesn't appropriate money. It's that we don't like it and this is an issue for us. So they're saying that it could perhaps be an issue going forward, even if this bill passes. Let's say they take the Senate version and they pass it without it. It's a little bit of a warning. Don't keep trying this.
And let's assume the Senate passes something and there's a reconciliation bill. Of course, that's the authorization. What are the chances of the funding bills getting through before the end of the fiscal for DOD?
Right, right. That's always the real question, right? When I covered these, we used to say, well, authorization is one thing, but to show me the money, which is the appropriations bills. They like to pass appropriations bills in the defense world. It is highly unlikely that the Congress will not pass these. These are the ones that get passed even in a year like this, where they're going to hold off on a lot of the appropriations work until after the midterm elections. One would presume that they're going to work these things out, and we're going to see these bills pass. Perhaps not until September, perhaps in July, before they go in the August recess. But this shows you that there's a lot of issues to iron out. If they're having these kinds of fights in the authorization bills, they're certainly going to transfer to the appropriations bills as well.
And Jody, just one final question for our edification. There's no hearings, nothing's going on this week, but is there any behind-the-scenes discussions that take place informally?
Certainly, and one of the big discussions, obviously, is what's going to happen with the financial reg reform bill. They appointed some conferees before the break, and that's one that the administration and the Democratic leadership really want to move in June before the July recess. We will see, but that's one where you know staffers are up there on the Hill working hard. They're also all trying to figure out, again, particularly the Democratic leadership and the administration, what is the fallout from the oil spill, and what can they do? Does Congress have any role in this? And what role can they play? So you know the committees involved with environment, are you know, those staffers are working hard this week too.